Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Mike and Beans here. We're getting closer to March, Mike. We are coming up on Selection Sunday. We're about 3.5 weeks away, but still a lot of basketball to be played. We're going to jump right into it. What the hell is wrong with Kansas right now, Mike? The Jayhawks lose to BYU 91-57 last night. That ties the largest margin of defeat under Bill Self. 34-point losses tied for the third worst loss in program history. And this loss will probably drop Kansas outside of the top 25 for only the second time since 2009. Mike, this team started as number one in the country. This is kind of shades of North Carolina a little bit with what we've seen recently. Started the season as number one. Now, three losses in their last four games. They, on Saturday, the selection committee came out with their first tournament rankings. They were a number four seed. Well, with the way they're playing, they're dropping fast. For some opponents, this might be a team you want to play in the NCAA tournament right now. Your initial thoughts on Kansas right now?
Yeah, they're not good. They're just, like, flat out, they're just not good. Get swept on the trip to Utah. Your last couple wins are Colorado and then Iowa State. They got Iowa State in a really good spot, and they took advantage of that one. But, like, other than that, they really haven't done anything of significance since they beat Duke back in November. So, yeah, they're not very good. They're definitely just latching onto those November wins. But offensively, they can't really shoot. They don't shoot, and they can't get to the free throw line. No consistency whatsoever. Hunter Dickinson, am I going to be a dick? Yeah, I'm going to be a dick. Hunter Dickinson's going to go down as the most overrated college basketball player in the last, like, 15 years. He's just not – I mean, he's not good defensively. He's slow. He's plodding. And he doesn't give you enough offensively to make up for it. When he has those great games, he'll have a great game against some center who's not on his level. Great. But he doesn't really do anything. AJ Storr was one of the most bizarre transfer pickups I've seen in a while. That dude had every single red flag imaginable. And we know he was a good player. He played really well in his time to end St. John's and then in his time at Wisconsin, but he leaves a really good situation for, I don't know what reason, all the red flags possible were there. So it shouldn't surprise you that that guy was 1 of 5 from the field last night for 3 points and 4 turnovers off the bench and has been largely completely ineffective and was the crown jewel of their transfer class. Kansas was people's number one entering the season, not mine. We can say that with confidence. They were not mine. And like the only transfer they've gotten that's really done anything is Zeke Mayo. And Mayo had a bad game last night, which is the reason they lost. But they don't have any answers offensively aside from Dickinson and Mayo. Aside from those two, they're getting nothing out of AJ Stewart, getting nothing out of Ryland Griffin. David Coit was the guy they picked up really late in the season, and he's been okay. He's been fine. But like they just – this roster wasn't put together – particularly intelligently. You were hinging on AJ Storr, who was the guy you should have never hinged your program on for a year. I was baffled he was allowed to transfer up. Yeah, that's all I got.
Nothing is going right for Bill Self right now. One of the most inconsistent teams in one of the most important parts of the season right now. Like you said, offensively, they're down to the 59th ranked team in adjusted offensive efficiency. Zeke Mayo and Hunter Dickinson are the only two players who are averaging double digits on the season right now. Like you said, last night, it was Dickinson and David Coit, two players in double digits. And it wasn't anything bizarre. It was like 14 points and 11 points. They average 11.4 turnovers a game. They can't protect the ball. Last night, 15 turnovers against BYU, 12 against Utah. This is getting ugly to watch. And you ask yourself, does Kansas even have an identity right now? And pretty simple. No, they do not. And, you know, these next two games, I think it's Oklahoma State and then another poor conference opponent. But then they close with number 9 Texas Tech, number 5 Houston, and then they host Arizona. You look at that schedule and you're like, I wouldn't bet on them to win one game with how they're playing right now. Maybe Arizona at home, but Texas Tech and Houston are playing really good basketball right now. Far better than Kansas at the moment. And like I said, this is a team you want to play right now if the tournament started today. You have no confidence in Kansas to get a win in the NCAA tournament because of their resume early on in the season. I think they are in the tournament. We'll see how the Big 12 tournament goes, obviously. But Bill Self, What is going on? That's all I have to say about Kansas.
Yeah, it feels like these next two games are clear get-right games. Like, Oklahoma State and Colorado are really, really bad. So, those could be get-right games, but it's a Saturday-Monday switch. So, I don't know. And then they got a week off, almost a week off before you got Texas Tech coming to town. So, they need those two games, and they need to win those two games by a lot of points.
Talked about A.J. Storr earlier. You brought him up, Mike. But he left Wisconsin. Like you said, Wisconsin, pretty good situation. It's more than a pretty good situation right now. Wisconsin is really damn good. How about the Wisconsin Badgers? 5 straight wins. 13 wins in their last 15 games. They beat Illinois by 21 last night. I will say Illinois has been battling the flu across their team. That's actually kind of an interesting story. Regardless, beat them by 21 last night. They had their best win of the season on Saturday against Purdue. I bashed Wisconsin early in the season. I'm one to admit it, because I thought they didn't have a go-to guy. Didn't think they had a go-to guy. I guess didn't really know much about John Tonge, who's been absolutely phenomenal for this team. 19.6 points per game. He's in talks to be a first-team All-American right now. They're up to number 7 in KenPom. 6th-ranked team in adjusted offensive efficiency. 5 guys are averaging over 9 points a game. Obviously, Tonje leading with 19.6. They barely miss from the free throw line. They hold wins at Purdue and early in the season against Arizona. In early December, they had 3 straight losses against Michigan, Marquette, and Illinois. You know, maybe thought, all right, is this going to be a team that can actually compete for the Big Ten? Well, they've looked like a top 5 team since then. They've been awesome. The wins over Purdue and Illinois, very telling. Tanji's coming off. Tanji, another 30-point game last night. The second half they had against Purdue was unbelievable. They shot 72% in that half, 50% from 3. This team is really good. Greg Gard has done a phenomenal job. Mike, this Wisconsin team, this is a really good team.
Yeah, John Tonji's an All-American. You mentioned it. John Tonji is good enough to be an All-American, probably on the second team, I think, at this point. But, yeah, he's an All-American. He's playing at an incredibly high level. And the way Wisconsin runs a lot of offense is they really – I mean, they run complete five out because Nolan Winter's a three-point threat. Stephen Crowell last night was 3-3 from 3. He's their center. He's a three-point threat. So you're able to run a lot of five out, and it gives driving lanes for a guy like John Tonji, who gets to the line at will, can score inside because he's pretty physically – I mean, 6'5", 218. He is physically strong. John Blackwell, 6'4", 203, same thing. Really physically strong, really improving sophomore. He's been good this year. And Max Klesmit, I don't think is the truest of true points, but in the game against Purdue in particular, I went back and rewatched that. I thought he was excellent. The box score doesn't really reflect how well I thought he played because he'd get in the lane. I believe he had 6 assists to 1 turnover. It's like, that's pretty good. But he had like 5 additional hockey assists where he would make the pass, then the defense would rotate, then he kicks it. The guy who catches it kicks it one more time for a 3 ball. Money 10. And then against Purdue as well, they were 20 of 22 from inside the arc. They didn't miss. The way they spaced out the floor, they just get a ton of driving lanes. It's hard for you to guard them because you can't really help off anybody. And Tanji's getting to the rim at will. Blackwell's getting to the rim at will. Klesman's making the right play. That he didn't even play particularly well last night because Tanji was awesome. Crowell was awesome. Blackwell was awesome. That he's like, look, I'll take a step back. I'll take my 3 shots in 23 minutes, and I'll just chill. And the team's fine with that. Yeah, these guys are bought into winning. So, this Wisconsin team is really, really good. The way they run offense, yeah, I'll be first to admit it, too. I was too low in Wisconsin. Even last week, I had them in the 20s. And it's like, what are you doing, Michael? No. This is at this point in the season, obviously things change because that's how college basketball works. But at this point in the season, this is a top 10 team without a doubt. I just kind of trust them in almost – any spot they're going to be put in. This team is really, really good.
You know, I think there's 4 or 5 games to go on the regular season schedule. They only play 1 ranked team to close the season, and that's Michigan State, I believe. And if Michigan finally decides to lose a close game, which they really haven't, but I know Michigan and Michigan State play on Friday, I think Wisconsin still's got a really good chance to win the Big Ten regular season. Obviously, they'll need some help, but they're talented enough. Without a doubt. Yeah. And then in the Big Ten tournament, the Big Ten tournament, it seems like it's like wide open. But not because the conference isn't good. It's because the top teams are really, really good. I think Michigan has proven under Dusty May to be really good. Michigan State, you know, every time they lose, they'll bounce back with a really impressive win. Wisconsin's playing their best basketball right now. you know, even though Purdue has lost three straight, the three losses have been to very good teams. I don't think you can count out Purdue either. We're going to talk about Maryland here in a second. Maryland's probably in that conversation. The Big Ten is really good. It's going to be really interesting. I'm really excited to watch that Big Ten tournament. But going back to Wisconsin, this is a really good team. Greg Gard has his team playing best basketball right now. And Greg Gard should probably be in the Coach of the Year conversation.
Yeah, he's got to be up there. Him, Pitino, Pat Kelsey. Just those are a couple names that come to mind immediately.
Said that Wisconsin had won 13 of the last 15 games. One of those two losses was to the Maryland Terrapins. Maryland heating up right now. Another hot team from the Big Ten. The Terps. How about them Terps? They've won 9 of their last 11 games, including 3 straight. A month ago, they lost a road game to Northwestern. I think it was by 2 in overtime. Mm-hmm. And Terps fans were calling for Kevin Willard's head because of his inability to win a road game. Well, the fan base is kind of quieted about that. And they're one of the hottest teams right now. They're up to number 14 in KenPom. They're top 20 in both adjusted offensive and defensive efficiency. They just put up 101 on Iowa in a dominant second half. And they have 5 guys averaging over 12 points per game. Their front court is the real deal. We talked about Derek Queen earlier in the on this podcast. He is a stud, 16 points per game and 8.8 rebounds per game. And then Julian Reese, he's having himself a season, 13.8 points and 9.8 rebounds per game. They still have Michigan State and Michigan to play on their schedule. Look out for the Terps in March, Mike. This team is really good.
Yeah, Derek Queen's a star. I mean, we've mentioned him at length. He's a first-round pick. Like, he just so solid offensively. He is such a deep offensive back. He can really do just about anything. He can drive you on the perimeter. He can hit a midi fairly consistently. He can back you down, score either hand, going either way, fade away, lean in, spin off, whatever. He's got such a deep offensive bag. And he's a good passer for a big, too. And Julian Reese, you mentioned him, excellent defensively, too. Cleans up on both the offensive and defensive glass, but he's one of the best shot blockers in the Big Ten. Doesn't foul, draws fouls, just does all the little things you need him to do. He's not going to do too much, does all that stuff. But I think what separates Maryland this year from last year, because last year they had a good front court, they had good defense. Their guards, Jacoby Gillespie is awesome. He is excellent. Shooting 41% from three, but he's just a really solid basketball player. He gets the ball off the floor and knows where to get the ball in the right guy's hands. He's an excellent facilitator. He's annoying defensively. He's a perimeter pest. Gets to the line, does really just about everything you need him to do. Creates well. He's just really excellent at what he does. And then you've got guys surrounding him, Rodney Rice and Selton Miguel, both really good shooters. Rodney Rice has really been solid this year. Just after a really weird last year, he didn't end up playing because some car accident thing. Transfers out of Virginia Tech, misses the entire season, comes to Maryland, wasn't expected to do much, is a legitimate starter for this team and is a legitimate floor spacer. And when they need a bucket, they're able to go to him and he's able to create a little bit and hit a shot. Same with Selton Miguel, just really solid from that really good USF team last year. Knows his role, 3-and-D guy, fits it to a T. Yeah, this team is, they're really solid. They're well constructed. They play together well. And they're a team I trust and I'm going to end up trusting in March. Like, I don't think they sweep the rest of their schedule. Like, you got to go at Michigan and Michigan State comes to town. Those are two pretty tough games. But this is a team I trust to win a game, maybe two in March. I really, really like this Maryland team. I think they're a top 15 team in the country.
Maryland, another team that's playing its best basketball at the right time. And I think the five players that I mentioned who are averaging over double digits, I think they're all starters. I believe they are all starters. And I think I saw something on Twitter, because you see everything on Twitter, right, Mike? But they have, I think, metric-wise and statistically, they have the best kind of starting five in the country per KenPom. But that just shows, you know, I wouldn't want to play this Maryland team right now. And they're probably going to end up as maybe a 5 or 6, you know, in this tournament. In a projected bracket they have, and I've seen a couple of them, I think they have projected in, as a 6 seed. And if they win, they would play, obviously, the winner of the 3 and 14. And that 3 seed was Iowa State. And that would be a very interesting matchup. Obviously, there's a lot of time to go. They still have to finish the Big Ten regular season and play the Big Ten tournament. But this Maryland team, really, really, really good, fun to watch. They're playing their best basketball at the right time. Any final thoughts on Maryland?
No, they're really, really good. I like them a lot. Agreed with everything you said.
Yeah, and then quickly, to close out the podcast, we wanted to give Dennis Gates, the head coach of the Missouri Tigers, some love. He went 0-18 last year in SEC play. And now, Missouri is one of the best teams, not only in the country, but in the SEC. Mike, you really wanted to talk about him today. I'll give you the floor on Dennis Gates and Missouri.
Yeah, this Missouri team's impressive. Didn't start the season, like started the season with the loss at Memphis, like fine, but they beat Kansas. They look better than Kansas at this point, frankly. But like lost to Illinois, lost to Auburn. They didn't look great. And then like they've really picked it up lately with that win at Florida, got a win over Vanderbilt. They swept both the Mississippi schools, and they've just been really solid lately. They're one of those teams that just kind of win games. They don't look the prettiest, but they win games. They're really good offensively. They get to the free throw line a ton, the second most in the country. They generate a lot of their offensive opportunities at the free throw line. But they've got so many guys that they're, I mean, just well-rounded enough offensively too with the ability to attack the rim. They don't turn the ball over much. They shoot threes really well, and they're good. They're good inside the arc too. Mark Mitchell, the Duke transfer, has been really solid for them, but they've just got a ton of guys. Tamar Bates has been, he was good last year, but like he was good last year on a team that was really bad, right? You mentioned they were 0-18. It's like, okay, yeah, he put up empty calories last year. He's matched that offensive efficiency this year, or that offensive production this year in terms of points per game, a little more efficiently on a much better team. That is kind of hard to do. So like full credit to him. Tony Perkins, I think, is a legitimate floor general. Got guys like Anthony Robinson making plays. Caleb Grill off the bench is a dynamite shooter and just kind of adds so much to this offense. Yeah, I like this team quite a bit. No one on the roster particularly jumps out at you and is like, oh man, that guy, man, that's the guy I'm afraid of. But they're just balanced. They play really well together and they've got it figured out. So they're a team definitely interesting to watch as they approach the end of the SEC season and get to the tournament. It's like, they're going to be a team that I fully expect to get wrong no matter what I do, but they're really good.
Yeah, they have a test against Alabama tonight. Luckily, they host them, so that should be an interesting game. And, you know, so The Athletic came out with a feature article on this turnaround of Missouri, and a big point of it was not many coaches who go winless in conference play get brought back for another year. Obviously, that's just the college basketball landscape. It's the college coaching landscape. And one of the things they brought up about last year's team, obviously 0-18 in conference, but they really were injured for most of the year. You know, if you forget, John Tonji, the most likely an All-American this year for Wisconsin, he was on the Missouri team. Tamar Bates was pretty much the only consistent player on that team that could stay healthy. And one of the stats in that story was last year's Missouri team had injured or sick players miss a combined total of 111 games. Well, now, Dennis Gates didn't really change anything of his philosophy. He did a great job in the transfer portal. And now, you know, Missouri, one of the best teams in the country. It's a really cool story. And one of the last quotes, he said, you can make an effing documentary about this. Who knows? We'll see how far Missouri goes, but that may be the case. This is a really good team. I know they beat Florida on the road. That surprised me because, you know, not everyone was aware of really how good Missouri was, but I think the country opened their eyes to see, hey, Missouri's the real deal. They have a big test and could get a marquee win against Alabama tonight. Should be a good one. Any last thoughts, Mr. Mike?
No, I think we covered it all. Yeah, I think we did a good job.
All right. Well, like I said, game of the week. Possibly, is Missouri versus Alabama tonight, and then also Michigan and Michigan State might be playing for first place in the Big Ten on Friday. Yeah, that should be a good one. We'll hopefully be back next week. Thanks for tuning in, as always, on another episode of Mike and Beans. Mike, thank you, as always.
Thank you, Bennett. Stay classy.